If we can start out with a Pledge of Allegiance, please. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. Silence. Code of silence. No, it's good to hear, see so many people here. I don't believe we have any new residents. Who is the new director of community development?
Where should I stand? Over here?
Right there.
Actually, not the director, but thank you. I just got promoted. I'm the manager. I manage community development. So, okay. But I'll tell the chief that you promoted me, I'm sure.
Were you managing? Yeah.
I'll put it in my message to you.
But thank you, everyone. Thank you for having me here tonight. This is refreshing. I bought my place 5 years ago. I live out near Silver Lake area, and I think I live in a condo complex, and I think I've met three of my neighbors, and there's 165 units. So this is actually very refreshing to see the community involvement, the participation that you have for your community, unless I'm just that neighbor that no one wants to know or get to know. I don't know. But again, thank you for having me. I just wanted to give you a little background on what I'm envisioning for code enforcement as we move forward. Code enforcement is one of the four divisions that is under my watch. I have code enforcement, building and safety, planning, and business licensing. So I'm sure that you've all had experience, or hopefully you haven't, but in asking code enforcement to look in certain cases and so forth. But I just wanted to give you, a brief summary of what I envision for that division of the department. And I was trying to come up with some mission statement of for that division, and I came up with four points that I wanted to drill home. Not only to the code enforcement officers, but also just to let you know where I'm coming from as I move forward here at the City of Gardena. The first one is to maintain and preserve the integrity, appearance, and value of buildings, properties, and neighborhoods within the city. And I'm sure you agree with me, that's first and foremost for all of you, for all your property values and for your quality of life here, and to maintain the safe community that you have. Second is to develop successful professional partnerships with residents and businesses in the city. I think you're doing that here now with the police department, and now dovetailing onto and me coming on board, working with the police department and in unison with them to ensure that we maintain that communication and that we continue on with that partnership. And I believe that that's really, it's not the city against the residents or the residents against the city, and I don't feel like that's at all the truth here, and in some cities it is. But I want to maintain that. I feel like we need to work together to ensure that the quality of life is maintained here. My door is always open. My card is on the table, so please feel free to take one. I'm always, if you need to email me directly so that I can talk to my staff, please do so. I want to know what's going on, and if you feel like, again, you're not getting anywhere, come to me, and I'll go ahead and help and maintain that partnership with you. The third one is to be the premier resource and expert in code enforcement, not only for you, but also internally. We want to be able to make sure that you understand what our jobs are, and also to make sure that you understand what the code says. The code sometimes is not the most reader-friendly document in the city, and so if you have questions or you have issues with the code, or we're constantly making changes to them, and we want to hear what it is what your concerns are, what's not working for you. We can take that and make adjustments where needed. But we also want to make sure that when you're out, if you see things that you just don't, if you think are not right, or you think that maybe somebody's in violation, give us a call, or send us an email, and we can go ahead and work with you to make sure that if someone isn't in compliance, that we can go ahead and do that and make sure that they come into compliance. But also that we can also explain the codes. Sometimes there's a lot of gray area in the code. And the last is to educate the public about your role in maintaining the quality of life here. again, it is a partnership, and we can't do this without you. You're here 24/7. You know more than anyone what goes on in your community. So we need you to let us know so that we can go ahead and do our jobs more effectively. Again, it goes back to that partnership. We work hand in hand. So just a little some information, just an FYI of the caseload that my code enforcement officers have. Last year, there were 945 cases open, and we have 4 code enforcement officers right now. 945 cases that were opened. This year, and we're not sure whether or not those were cases that resulted in some sort of compliance, or whether they were just, you know, false calls, what have you. But those are a lot of calls that they are legally required to respond to. This year, we're not even through this year, we had 1,161 cases open. You could say that was problem. There's maybe a lot more violations, but I think it's a lot more eyes on the street. There's a lot more of the community involvement. And we're becoming aware because you're giving us that information. So some of that is proactive, and some of that is reactive. Proactive being that my code enforcement officers are on the street. They're actively taking action on things that are not in compliance with the code, but also reacting to your calls. So again, even though that number has increased, it may mean that we're working effectively together. So what are your expectations, or what would you expect of my code enforcement officers? Again, this is a team effort. What I would expect of my officers is that they make themselves available to you, and that is via email, that's via telephone, or here out in the streets. That's what I expect of my code enforcement officers. If you're not getting that quality of service, and I know they are, I know that they're actively out there and they're wonderful people, and they're working really hard on all of the cases that are open. But if at any moment you're not getting the availability that you feel you deserve, please do let me know so that I can go ahead and address that. I don't foresee any of that being an issue, but I just want to let you know that those are my expectations, and those are the expectations that you should have of my staff. Also, immediate response, that they do not only are they available, but they follow up with you, that they give you the information that you need, so again, they're readily available to you at any moment. But also to allow maximum flexibility. We understand that not every code issue is black and white. There are certain issues, absentee ownership, a lot of bank-owned properties. Those are the things that we're actively trying to address. And we want to allow, certain people just may not know that they're not in compliance. And so we want to work with those people. Violators aren't always the worst people in the world. Sometimes they just don't know, or things have gone awry in their life, and we just have to give them that friendly nudge to go ahead and get things done. We're there to work with the community. We don't want to be the heavy hand, you know, and to have to come down and say, you need to do this. We want to listen to everyone and work with everyone. So those are just kind of the three main expectations that I would convey to you and what I would expect of my team. So, you know, right now I'm getting to understand everything Gardena. I came from the city of Santa Clarita, which is a total opposite side of the county. It's on the north end of LA County. This is a great opportunity because you have 4 code enforcement officers, great code enforcement officers, in about 5.7 square miles, I think it is. City of Santa Clarita, we had, I think there were 7 code enforcement officers, and the city's still growing, and I think it was at 60-some square miles. So a lot more territory to cover. So we have a lot more interaction here, and there's a lot more opportunity for us to really be in the streets. So I think that's my time to hurry up. So this is a really wonderful opportunity to be the face and to let you know that my door, my voicemail, my email is always open to any one of you. And again, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. may not have all of them, but I will definitely get back to you if I don't. So thank you. And
I have a simple question. Is there a way that we can access the code, say on a computer?
The code?
The code. So you, say you have a problem, you're looking at something, say, you know, under a category, there you could look it up on a computer without bothering you. First, find out yourself. Is there a code? Could it be?
You can.
Then you bother.
You can. You can go to you can go to the city's website, and you can go to the municipal code. You can just, it's on the homepage. Click on municipal code, and it's part of the zoning section. I think it's, believe it's section 18. That's for zoning. That's for everything residential related. You can bookmark that, and so yeah, that's the easiest way to get that information. Any other questions? So again, you have my card here. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
First, I want to introduce, I have one of our new district officers here tonight, Sean Dixon. And I don't know why he came here. He wandered over from Monterey Park. He actually came to us from, or as he says, Monterey Park. But he came from Monterey Park Police Department, and he's been having a blast here and a real good time working. So I figured what a better way to really get him in tune with what's going on is bring him into the district and have him start dealing with stuff. We had a meeting the other day, and I go, don't worry, I won't bother you too much. You know, you'd be able to go. He was just telling me, he goes, man, all the emails you sent me, oh, we're going to pull out tonight. So, we're going to indoctrinate him the right way and get him going on things. So when you see Sean out there, I'll be dragging him to some more of the meetings if I keep him freed up to get over here. And but when you see him, wave to him. He waves with all his fingers. And, you do too. And we'll make it. We'll try to make things right for you folks. So you want to relax, or you don't have to stand up here and get a lot of pressure. All right, listen up. This is important.
Really? Oh, wow.
I don't know. Well, I guess we can make that determination in a minute. I was going to start out. Oh, adopt a block. Please, if you don't, and I don't see a whole lot of names except my regulars calling in all the time.
That's because everything's so clean.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I want to say out of everybody else. But,
hey, I don't care what district you go in. Just call it in. You know, the city's the city. And I always say, and don't take this the wrong way, this is always a very difficult city to police and work because of where we're located. And we're right in the middle. And I tell you, it's a constant battle. I mean, just think about if we didn't have some of these programs like Adopt-A-Block and our Neighborhood Watch programs to where you just really didn't show that you care for what's going on in the neighborhoods. Think how this city could really look on the other end of the spectrum where people just kind of throw up their hands and they're done with it. And I always say I had a guy out here the other day. It actually came from Washington, D.C. here, and he was auditing us on our community-oriented policing grant to where we had obtained a grant for 5 officers where the feds paid for them for 5 years. Okay, well, that's finally coming up to an end. I think somebody probably remember me talking about that way back when. And so they came out and audited us, so he got put in my car. I don't know why, but I drove him around the city. And, I brought him to Charlotte's house, and she saved him back. So he goes, thank God, somebody that's not insane. But just to show him some of the programs that we have working in Gardena, some of the things that we do here, coupled with somebody from the Neighborhood Watch program, it talks about, you know, how we're trying to really bond and bring the community together. I drove him up north here, up into the county area. I took him east up here into the L.A. area. I had him over here in the east part of the Hawthorne area with all the apartments. And just as soon as you drive across, there's such a big difference in how the trees are trimmed, how the cities look, you know. And I told him, this is our effort of what we're trying to do. You know, the police department, we're just not focusing on going out and dragging people to jail. Yes, that's one of the things we do. But we're also taking those extra steps of, you know, coming out here and identifying all the real root problems and not just attacking the symptoms all the time. So, with the Adopt-A-Block, please get the calls in. You know, I know somebody mentioned I heard out here the alley. Oh, the alley always looks like crap. Call it in. Call it in. It'll go over to our folks here at Community Development, our code enforcement officers. It'll go over to the city yard. They'll come out and clean up what they need to clean up. And At the same time, our code enforcement people can start hitting these folks that are repeat offenders. Like I say, we're just doing some changes within the codes. It's going to have a little bit more teeth to it. You get smacked with $100, $200. You'll start waking up, okay? And it's not those folks that will get hit with that, it's just another reason for the city to make money. Oh, it's really not. I mean, really, $100? I mean, it costs more than that for me to get the guy to drive out here in the car with everything put together to deal with it. But the point is you get smacked with $100, it'll get your attention, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a deterrent. So keep that in mind, please. Make the calls. It's so simple. We're not going to identify. We're not going to put your name on the Goodyear blimp and fly over the location that you ratted them out. You know, it's not the snitches get stitches. We're not doing any of those things. So, but we're trying to keep the city up. And how do we do that best? With me driving around all day? No. When I'm out and about, I write stuff down all the time and report it. And I usually use your name. And I'll write the stuff in and submit it. But it's the same thing. I mean, look at how many people are here. If you took one or two a month, look at how many of those other things that you're going to get done. Anyway, I won't beat a dead horse. Care about it. Care. Real. That's what it's all about, is caring about what caring about where you live. Just so you know, I'll throw this out. On September 29th or 30th, drive south on the 405. Do not drive north on the 405. It's going to be the Carmageddon thing, so I just want to throw that out to you. So remember, September 29th and 30th, drive that way, not this way. Go to San Diego. Gas lamp district's beautiful. Have a good time. So tell Ed Burnett hello when you get there. Let me segue over to our camera program. Cameras are going up everywhere. We should have a new list coming out this week of some other locations that should be getting ready to get up and running. We've got Redondo and Normandy going, Redondo and Raymond cameras. We have a camera at Redondo and Budlong on top of the one that's already up on top of the hospital there. And we have one at Redondo and Vermont down lower. So we've got those intersections. We also have 162nd and Western and 162nd and Harvard. The one at Western and Harvard, week before last, we used that one. We had a boyfriend, girlfriend with the child involved. He came over, snatched a child, and we get the call. And we were able to pick his car up. We followed him. He came down west. He almost took the path of all the cameras here. And we were able to watch him, and we picked him up on the cameras and just directed the units right in on him and got him stopped. So not a huge deal, but big enough, it works. So... So we've got more coming in. I think they're working on Western right now, if I'm not mistaken. And pretty soon you're going to find them at Western and Rosecrans, Western and Normandy. I'd rather Western and Normandy. That's an impossibility. Normandy and Rosecrans. Normandy and Rosecrans and Vermont. So, but they're going to be hitting all the major thoroughfares, so we can start doing that. Good Lord. Yeah. I'm okay. That's what happens when you work at your kid's house all weekend. You just lose your mind. But they'll be in at all the major, the majority of the major intersections. So, I mean, we've got somebody, it's monitoring them most of the day now. It's in and out, looking at them, watching our parks, those types of things. So, we're going to be a very unique city that has this program, and hopefully it is going to stay right up online and working very well. Like I say, our goal eventually is to get that piped into the cars so the guys can see things before they ever get there. Private businesses to get in on some of these things, buy the cameras, we'll let them pipe into our feeds. So let's say Smart and Pipe and Supply, I always think of that one because of the copper and that. These guys trying to steal this stuff all the time. Wouldn't it be great if, you know, we get an alarm call instead of having to drive there, you know, the time it takes to get there, the delay, actually the alarm's activated, the delay, the guy finally wakes up at the alarm company and figures it out, and then we finally get the call and we got to drive there. These guys are usually already gone. They're in and they're out. Wouldn't it be great if that thing goes off, we're notified right away, and we can just pop the camera right up there and see what we have. So remember, the information's only in there for 10 days, so if we're looking in your house or your backyards, and I'm just kidding, but the intentions are there. We hold it for 10 days for evidentiary purposes. So, that's right. So everybody that's got your grill going in your backyard, get rid of it. No, but,
dog to look
at. This isn't like a city cam.
No, we discussed that at one point, but the problem is if we open that up, I can already see it. It'd take about 10 minutes for some crook to figure it out and go, oh, let me see. I can watch the area. I can just sit and watch. This guy opens his business at 9. He's got this, does his money run at 2. And he doesn't have to be sitting out there. He can do it all from home now, right? So we're not going to do it that way. And I think even the federal government has a deal where you can watch for illegal aliens trying to get over the border, and you can log in and watch that, and you can phone in if you see something. But it's not not for this. It just there's too many wrong ways that it could be used.
Yeah,
so, but let's see. Crime wise in your area, you guys are pretty clean. You had one burglary, and they got in the side window, forced open the side window. And they were looking for jewelry and some cash. They left all the electronics and stuff. So,
where was that?
And that was in the 15200 block of Daphne.
Yeah. Ooh. What?
What's the street?
What's the house?
No. Well, I do, but I'm not going to tell you in case they don't want to know. But, you know.
I want to know. I'm on the corner.
Well, okay. But it wasn't your house.
No, it wasn't.
I would have gotten a phone call. But anyway, 15200 block of Daphne, they just left. I don't know if the house was being watched, what it is, and I'll just say that from the point they went out for a quick run to get something, and by the time they got back, within about 30, 40 minutes, they were in and out. So, again, you see people hanging on the street, you see people you don't recognize in the neighborhood, make the phone calls.
Was
so,
this last week, just this last week?
28th. Yes, August 28th. So, you know, I always wonder about some of those too, if it's somebody that knows the folks or, you know, family or something going on there when it's that quick. Not necessarily all the time, but sometimes that will happen. So,
or a really loud neighbor that tells everybody you're on vacation.
Or like my neighbor tells everybody that I'm a cop. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. So, but even one of the guys called me unneighborly the other day. So, but again, the door-to-door people, please call them in. Please call them in.
Speaking of that, excuse me, Lieutenant. I knew you were going to do it, Charlotte. But I have a real quick question. Has anyone, whenever someone has come to your door, a solicitor to maybe promote something, have any of you told them, oh, our neighborhood watch coordinator just lives right down the street here.
No.
Her name is such and such.
No.
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 That's probably the second or third time I've had that happen.
Oh,
and it's now they want my blessing that they can go door to door.
Oh, really?
Oh,
my God.
You know what? I tell them Charlotte Lynch is my neighborhood watch coordinator. <too. laughs> No, but this guy shows up at my doorstep. It was a Saturday night. Well, not night, evening. 5:30. And you come up on my doorstep. I got my kitchen sink in there, and I was making dinner and doing stuff, getting ready for dinner. And I had the windows open because it's warm. And he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, what do you want? I mean, why are you bothering me at 5:30 on a Saturday? Obviously, you can see what I'm doing. I got a knife. And I mean, why are you bothering me? You know, I don't even know you. So he's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm fine. What do you want?
What are you selling?
And he goes, so I walked around because the dogs were going crazy and trying to, you know, get up on the counter and kill him. So I walked out front, and I'm like, look, I'm not interested. He goes, interested in what? And I go, in your cheesy home security system. I'm not interested. And he's like, so then he asks, he goes, well, do you know when your neighbors are home? And I go, like I tell you, it's none of your business. You know, I don't even know you. So then the guy, he talked, talks to me a little bit longer, and he's just rattling. I'm going, hey, I'm done. He goes, well, do you know when they're back? I go, I told you. I don't know. They could be home now. So he's facing me and looking at the house. So they pull into the driveway. I go, I'd say they're probably home now. And he goes, well, how do you know that? And I go, well, if you were paying attention, you'd saw they just pulled the driveway. And he goes, well, you're not very neighborly. And then I told him, I shouldn't have said what I said. But I'm probably not going to get a break if I get an alarm system from it. But I really don't care. So, but, I get it. Now, you always hear me tell you, you know, when you go home, that's where you want to be left alone. And I call in on these people because they're damn annoying. So that's the Mark Rickrell take. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Did you call in?
So it's the permit to put something on your door, not to bang on your door.
And that's something you have to understand. When you ask for a permit, there's two types of permits, solicitor's permits. One where they can just come up and leave it on the doorstep or whatever and walk away. Right. But then there's also a separate one that says, hey, you're allowed to talk to people. And they never get the one that says you're allowed to talk to people. Hell, they don't even get the one to throw the crap on your doorstep usually. So, call in on them. Like I say, you don't know who's coming to the door. You know, this guy had, this guy on my door, they actually got an alarm system at their house from these people. So, you know.
I called in someone going from door. I even asked him, do you have a permit to be going from door to door? And he looks through his books and he says, oh, I must have left it in the van. But I called it in, even if he left.
Well, you don't know who he is.
And then I seen another guy on the other side knocking on the doors. But that time the officer came by and he seen him too and he stopped him. Right? But then the officer left and he continued to
the doors.
Not all our officers are well-versed like Officer Dixon here, who's right on top of things, but he would know how to deal with all that, see? So, but now let's say it happens after hours. A perfect example is here. Charlotte called me up the other night, and I answered the phone. That was the first mistake. But the second thing, but then she asked, the second mistake was, then she asked me a hard question about the solicitor thing, and then the third problem, everybody had already gone home with CDD, so I had no way of knowing because there is really not a whole, you know, an exchange of information. And that's something I'm working on Raymond with right now, is trying to develop a list that can get put out every week with this so we can see who has the permits and what kind of permits they are.
At least the officers have it.
Yeah.
We continue to call, and the officers will know.
But here again, I always go back, who are these people? You know, I could have a company, a contracting company for construction, but, you know, I could get you an ex-felon, you an ex-felon, you an ex-felon, you an ex-felon.
How'd you know?
And burglary, because just look at yourself. Go home, look in the mirror tonight, okay? But you could go, but you guys could be casing. I don't know. So, but anyways.
If the city's issuing the permits, wouldn't they kind of interface with you guys to make that up?
So. Well, if I call over, yes. But otherwise, they go down and get the permit.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like garage. Now, we've just got it worked out now for garage sales and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we charge like $600 to have a garage sale.
Yeah,
so
right.
Now, we figured to get you fired up. But we every Friday evening, now I get a list of all the garage sales, all the permits for like the VFW and the Elks or the Normandy Club or any of these places that needed to pull a permit for their quinceañeras, the weddings, you know, the retirement parties, whatever, that need security. Now I get a list of all those so I can have guys in those districts or areas go around and check up on those to make sure they're complying and there's no shenanigans going on. Or if something, we get a call like the VFW, it's out of control, we go, they didn't even have a permit, you know, pull the guy out, you know, take care of business. So I'm trying to get that incorporated so we can actually see, you know, get that information. So, you know, one step at a time, you know. We came from the antiquated paper, you know, routing thing, you know, that, you know, carrier pigeon. But otherwise, crime in the area, you know, I mean, whew, you guys, I'm looking at today's. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, District 2 is actually looking very good. So, ever since Sean, just from your house, Florence. So, but if you would have made those two phone calls, we'd be zero. But anyway, remember, I've got the Wine Fest coming up the 22nd. good time. I won't be there this year, but I've been there the last 2 years. I have a wedding I have to go to. It's not mine. That's a crime if I do that again. And I know Charlotte commented on it. It's a great time. They do a bang-up job. And I've been to a lot of different wine festivals or different wine events throughout Southern California, different cities. And this one's great. A lot of room, a lot of fun. It's a good time. Pancake breakfast is 6. I expect to see all of you there. I'll have parking enforcement come by your homes. So, you can pay your $3 for your pancakes or 47. No, I'm just kidding. But come on by. We're doing the fundraising for our canines again. So you can't beat a good dog. So, and then just away from things, I did see Crosby, Stills, and Nash Friday night. One of the guys had a fire sale on tickets. He didn't know what to do, so I said, give them to me. So, great concert. You know, I figured I'd better see them before they all die. Don't know how much longer David Crosby's liver is going to hold out, right? So, I always have to throw something out that I've been doing. And don't forget, you know, Paso Robles now coming up next month. October 19th, 20th, and 21st is the big Harvest Wine Fest. So there might be a room or two left. What's that?
We put in our orders tonight?
Yeah, you can, you know, because, you know, I'll even give you 5% off on my shipping. You know. anyways, so, I mean, there's a lot of good things going on around the city. It's good to see CDDs finally getting back on their own feet. They've got their own director over there that's taking care of it. We still obviously are heavily involved with that. But Public Works, things have been going well. Over in the Public Works arena, they're out there getting things done. There's really no changes there. That's been a seamless
transition
with them, with us. And other than that, who's got some questions for me or Officer Dixon here?
I have a question.
All right, thanks, Florence. Go ahead, Maddie. After your comment, you have no question. Go ahead, Maddie. Go ahead, Florence. What do you got for me?
Redirect.
That's right.
I found a mosquito in my dishwater this morning, right? It was clean dishwater. I had the door open a little bit. I had it, but I closed it for so much time. Anyway, this morning there was a mosquito in there. And I tried to get a hold of somebody because I heard about that West Nile virus that's really becoming an epidemic. So I wanted to find
Texas,
out, should I hold this or throw it away?
No, you know what? It's kind of random where they're finding them. I mean, it could be anywhere. But, I mean, here in this area, you're not hearing about it. Riverside, San Bernardino, out that area there. Texas, I guess, huge deal, and I think a lot of it's in those humid, real humid type areas. Yeah, we've had some humidity here, but this isn't really humidity. So you really don't have it, and so I don't see any problem.
But if you find dead crows laying in your backyard,
yeah, you got the West. Oh, not the West Nile. Yeah, sweet you. It's that bird, bird thing in the jigger. Yeah.
And Councilwoman Johnson might, because she's a vector control person here for the city. She goes to all the meetings.
I am also.
Oh, see.
What's that, a victim of West Nile or a vector control? Oh, okay.
Can you add anything?
I don't know if you
want to
add one case in our greater LA area right now.
It was a Gardena right over here off of Casimir.
A mosquito helped myself.
The thing with the mosquitoes is to reduce standing water. They need standing water in order to breed into an adult. So if you see standing water, it looks like tadpoles. Just dump it out. And that should be like they say, keep your windows and screens closed and bug spray. That's your best bet. And try it. I mean, you can't really tell. It's the female one that's the problem.
It's just like humans. There you go. Some things don't change. What about the cameras?
What other cities have those?
What other cities have them? The let's see, they have them up at, what are they, what, not the Hollywood Walk, is that the Hollywood Walk up there, where Universal Walk, they have them up there. Some of the places have them like that. There are some other cities that do have them, but not on a grand scale like we do, especially in the Southern California area.
Really? So we're
yeah.
first. For
yes.
small cities.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of ones out a little bit further east out here that have them, but like I say, not to the extent that we do. You know, you look at other countries that have them. England has had them for years. I mean, huge. Europe, huge. And is a camera going to stop a crime? No, it's not going to jump off the pole and sock them in the head and, you know, call the police or anything. But what it does... what it does do is allow us to go back, especially, and capture information or you know that it, normally we would never know about. So, I mean, New York is big with them. I think part of the last one, they had the guy that parked the van with the bomb in it. They were able to trace this guy back, and they just kept backtracking cameras until they finally able to identify him. So there are, you know, hopefully we never have to use it for any of those types of things. But we, like I say earlier in the... well, actually, last year when we had already had him up at Raleigh Park, we had the shooting in the park, and we had that guy in custody within, well, probably about 36 hours. And had it all on there, wrapped up, taken down to the DA's office, no questions asked, case filed, very, very easy to use. So, you know, those are great stories to put with it, but hopefully, you know, we'll be able to start using them for, you know, if somebody does a crime in town, the cameras are in the right place, and the right, you know, focusing on the right thing, we can start getting license plates, vehicle descriptions, those types of things.
And Garnier is buying them and installing them, unlike LA.
Yeah, well, these are.
They bought them and they're still in the warehouse someplace, like 5,000 cameras.
Well, that's probably LA, yeah. So, but don't mistake those with red light cameras. We got rid of them. We don't have them. We don't want them.
Yeah,
forget it. Yuck. Pooey. So, go ahead, Maddie.
I'm not sure if I asked this, Lieutenant, but...
then don't.
Twice now that I'm aware of, and I don't know how many other times this has happened, but this morning about 7:30, 7:45, there were at least 6 patrol cars, maybe 10 officers, parked in front of my house, trooping down the street.
You've got some great coffee and donuts going there.
And it's a concern to me because there are now small children living next door to me. This goes on down about 6 houses from my house, 5 or 6 houses. And I think they're trying to get somebody to either serve a warrant or pick up somebody. But this continually goes on at the same house.
You know which house that is, Sean?
Yeah.
I wonder. I'm trying to figure out if he knows who they're wanting. He's out there in the streets every night. Because they're not coming to my office.
I think that's CSU's view.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I don't think we're privy to the exact
detectives. There's
a lot of
warrants
that they're dealing with right now.
Those were unmarked cars. They said
they
were.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Because none of my guys were working this morning, my undercover guys. So are you sure it's Gardena?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, they
said they had a better view.
Was SEU, maybe SEU was in
there. I think it was only maybe
one or two
Gardena and the rest were unmarked.
Oh, I know exactly what they were doing. I know exactly what they were doing now. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
I didn't come in until later because I had to pick my dog up, remember? But they were doing compliance checks. So it was our SEA, our Special Enforcement Unit guys that we just got. So you had probation, parole, probably some sheriff's deputies, and our guys, our SEU unit, were out doing parolee compliance checks.
Shared services.
So we were out making sure they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. That's exactly what that was this morning. Because when I came in, Lieutenant Osorio was telling me, he goes, yeah, we did some compliance checks this morning.
Is that because of all the releases lately?
Yes, and we're going to stay on top of that. That's, in fact, when we put together that, you remember me telling you a few months ago, we're putting together that SEU unit, our Special Enforcement Unit. That is their number one goal. Is our number one top of the list is compliance checks and making sure these folks are staying in line. So
and these are your parolees.
Yes.
So they're supposed to be where they say they're supposed to be,
and not have guns and dope and kidnap people in their house, all those kinds of things.
And they just rolled up, no sirens, no
you don't want to let them know you're coming.
Marching down the street, it was like, whoa.
It's kind of like in the young days when you were sneaking a guy in and out of the house. You didn't want to kind of let your parents honk the horn, let your parents know you were coming in and out. So, but understand, just, you know, understand how that all works. You know, we talk about that early release program with parolees. It's what their last offense they were arrested for. So let's say I was out messing around with the chicken coop, and I was out doing robberies, and I'm just, you know, assaulting people, doing all kinds of bad things. But my last arrest that I went to prison for was my 14th time for shoplifting at Target. So it's actually a 666 is the penal code section. I call it the devil worshiping section. So I get arrested for this devil worshiping section. So I go back to state prison. They don't look for that early release program at those other major assault crimes against persons. They go over here and go, oh, look, he was here for shoplifting. It was a felony, so a felony shoplift. So, you know, we're going to parole him out early. So we get all this, and we look at all these early release parolees, and we don't look at just the last offense. We start looking at what kind of person is this? What kind of and we're standing right on top of these things. So we want them to know, you come to Gardena, we're going to be on you. So we're going to pay you a lot of visits.
Keep them coming then, will you please?
All right. So, yeah, I had forgotten all about that. It was, you know, one of the million conversations I had today. So they should be coming to your house next week, Maddie.
Thanks. I'll
have cupcakes and donuts.
They'll be back the next day, too.
There's so many accidents. I've lived here 20 years at that same address on Van Ness. And I care for those people who had an accident. I was one of the victims. And my daughter's car was hit at night. It's usually happening at night. Like drunk people.
Yeah, me too.
My concern is if, I wonder if City of Gardena will change the signal light into blinking red light or stop sign.
Not on Van Ness, it's not. I mean, what more can we really do when you've already got the signal in place? We have no control over who's drinking and driving, and unfortunately, we do, we do our bang up a fair share of checkpoints and DUI enforcement. I mean, we do, we're on top of it all the time. But as far as the signals go, I can tell you they're working properly. It's, one of the complaints I get is, it won't change. I had to sit there, you know, for whatever, especially during the day. And before school started, I went up here and sat at each one of those to make sure they were phasing properly. And everything's working properly. But as far as if it's a DUI driver's, I mean, well, I tell you, it's an epidemic, and it's a problem. Me being involved in a fatality collision myself with a DUI driver, I can vouch for that. So, I mean, people aren't real bright. And I look at anybody who drives after they've been drinking like that, shame on them. So it, but here again, we could say, let's stiffen the fines, let's put them in jail. Where are we going to put them? We can't keep, what did I just talk about? We can't keep the other ones. It's until there's a change in how we think.
I think Van Ness is a terrible street for people. They speed constantly. They,
156.
I mean, between Sarah High School and beyond North, and then from Sarah down here through to, they race, they don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. And you get to 156th Street, and it's school hours. People are making left-hand turns, and they don't even see them. So I mean, I agree with Joe. It's a very fast-moving street, and if they can get out there and ticket a few of them, they might slow down.
I'll put it out to our motors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's especially in the school areas.
Yeah, usually we concentrate right in the school area. I mean, it's bad enough trying to get the people to drop their kids off, you know, and in the right areas and not drive over the other parents and kids right at the school. So, we'll put it out. And all I can tell you is, Southern California, especially Los Angeles area, like you take Van Ness and go further north. It gets even narrower. Gardena's got some streets like that, Marine Avenue, when you get east of Normandy up there. I mean, oh my goodness, it just, right down. And it's not pre-planned like you get down into Irvine with a nice treat and, center medians, and I got three lanes of traffic. Everything's all planned. It's ready to go. But, we've hodgepodge stuff here. And unfortunately, with major thoroughfares and more people, it's tough.
I would like them to look at that area on Van Ness, especially with the school areas.
Well, when I come back next time, I'll bring you back an accident report and tell you exactly what's going on. I'll have them run up an accident report through that area, and we can see exactly how many reportable accidents we've had through that area. And we can kind of look, and I'll have them pull up the causal factors to see what it is.
We'll save the city from using electricity.
Oh, the stuff.
I'd rather have a signal.
Who?
What?
Me. I said I gotta go.
Well, it's past your bedtime. You need your medication.
Left turns out of the parking lot at Ralph's are happening.
Oh, yeah.
Countless. Oh, yeah. Every time I go there, I mean, there's just people make left turns, during the day. I've seen Gardena PD station there, just a little ways, a block north, and...
Don't be making fun of my sign, Mike. I had that sign posted years ago, and I got screamed at, because I had it just no left turn, period, and I got screamed at, because folks up north, hey, how are we supposed to get back to our house? They're going to make a right-hand turn and drive around the block, and I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh. So we had to change it from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Well, 7 to 7 is fine, but I see a lot of left turns during the day. I mean, it's a constant stream of cars making left turns out of there.
We should be looking at your tickets like crazy.
If somebody goes off in you in a parking lot, like up by Ralph's, should you take their license number?
If they do what?
Go off on you on
yell and
parking?
Scream?
I mean, calling you all kinds of dirty words.
What'd you do?
I was just going to park my car. And
yeah, you can. Days. You can give us a call. Tell there's some irate maniac in the parking lot.
Drunk or on drugs. But
maybe
you
found out avocados were $1 instead of 50 cents a kilo.
That
happened to me the other day.
I haven't gone to the market yet.
Got the wrong sale paper.
But he was threatening me.
Yeah, no, give us a call.
One last thing,
was
where are your, besides the DUI stop that you have on Rosecrans around Hallville and whatnot, what other major streets?
We do El Segundo, we do Redondo, we do Artesia. We're all over the place. And what we usually do, what dictates those are the amounts of accidents we have, the number of cars that travel through that area. For us to actually, we just, they've come up years ago and just said, hey, you can't just put a checkpoint up to put a checkpoint. Like, there's a bar there, so we're going to put a checkpoint up in front of Harry's bar. So we actually have to have some sort of empirical data to support why we're having those checkpoints in that area.
How about like a million teens drinking in the parking lot?
Well, does it happen all the time?
Yes, every Thursday and Friday night.
Across the street.
Hookah Lounge.
At the Hookah Lounge in the county area.
Hookah Lounge. You can hear the beer bottles
going
away all night.
So.
Where's that?
I went psychotic on it long ago.
So, to answer your question, that's how we predict those areas. Does anybody have anything else? All right, if you do, ask Officer Dixon. He knows everything. He'll be chief here one day. I promise you. All right, thank you for letting me come. Thank you very much.